I like that. You are risen from the dead, and that every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. I like that. It says, my knee will bow. Is our knee bowed to the Lord today? That's the question. We'll take up the offering. Okay. Sure. Father, Lord, we want to honor you with every part of our being. Lord, we thank you that you are our Lord, that you are definitely risen from the dead, that you continue to intercede for us and present us holy and blameless before the Father. And Father, I just thank you for how you pour and bestow giftings upon us. And so this, as we give back wholeheartedly and freely, because nothing belongs to us, it all belongs to you. So Lord, that we would give back to you what you have placed on our heart to give. So Lord, we desire that you be honored and glorified in our lives, in our words and action. And Lord, that we be actually the salt and the light in this world, to present the true gospel to those who are perishing. And Lord, for those who are hurting and who are not here today, Father, we just pray that you would just meet with them, you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them. Father God, that you give them scripture that come to their mind, and they would bring your peace into their life. So Lord, we just pray for those who aren't here, and pray for, Father, that you would prepare our hearts today. And every day, Lord, that you would continue to search our heart. And Lord, that we would desire to bend our knee to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's kind of want to there's how we, just a little bit of a recap from last week. We shared about Daniel 1, and we talked about, you know, the decision that Daniel made. And you know, Scripture says in Daniel 1, I think verse 4, it talks about how the king's table, there was delicious foods. And the decision that Daniel didn't want to defile his body, because we know that our body is God's temple. But could you imagine, because I know Marvin and I were talking about this afterwards, but even the table of delicious foods, the temptation to say, you know what, I am not going to eat from that table. He prepared in his heart not to eat from that table. He made a choice beforehand, because this table would have been, you think of the most exotic foods, because the king would eat nothing but the best. The smells, aromas, the sight of everything. Maybe cold KFC, and you know how good that is. You think about your T-bone steaks, how it was marinated, and the aroma coming off was served with a lobster, some shrimp, scallops, garlic bread. And you think, you know, a side dish of desserts, right? But you see this big buffet, but he made a choice. And sometimes it's difficult to stick to your guns, your convictions. Because here he is, he knows what the king eats, right? But he chose not to eat that. He prepared, and he said in his heart, I will not eat this. He was okay with the Babylonians, pagans, changing his name, indoctrinating with paganism, but his heart was never changed because he was sold out for Christ. He was sold out for the Lord. Nothing could, paganism in that culture could not change his character. I think in the culture that we live in, I hope that we're not, hopefully we have already put in our heart what we will not bend or what line we will not cross. Right? There's a line that we will not cross. And have we already prepared in our heart what line we will not cross? What hill will you not die on? Mine's a conviction from the God. What his holy word says. I will not bow down to what man says, but only what God says. So that means I don't compromise what God's word says. And we have seen what has happened when other pastors have not compromised God's word, but actually stood up for the word of God, how the church is actually flourishing. And actually people want the truth, because we know the truth actually sets people free. Right? A watered-down word does not set people free. It gives them warm and fuzzy feelings. They said, oh, I feel good today. I feel like I'm a better person. But the word of God convicts us. It enlightens us. It quickens us, strengthens us. It gives us the ability to face whatever we are facing each day. It gives us peace. Do you know that? When you're in the word of God every day, you have peace, God's peace, because you're now able to, you're fully equipped to do battle. And you have the assurance that God, you're actually in God's will. That's why it's so important to know God's word, to actually allow God's word to take heart, take root in your heart, so that you are prepared for every day. You know, I share that the Holy Spirit really wants us individuals to grow spiritually, to grow deep roots. You know, life is full of choices. We make our decisions. Sometimes they're not good. Sometimes they're bad. We can't dwell on the past. And sometimes we make good choices and we learn from those choices. Those choices define who we are. And when I make a bad choice, I could go to the cross and say, Father, forgive me for making a bad choice. Forgive me for being disobedient. Forgive me for not listening to you or not being led by your Holy Spirit. There's God's grace. Not using God's grace in vain, because that's cheap grace. If I continue living in sin and continue living in sin and then go, Lord, forgive me, and then go back to that sin, using God's grace in vain, there's a difference. We do not use God's grace in vain, because that's cheap grace. And that's grace from the world. The world tells us we can live in cheap grace. The gospel says you need to be transformed, renewed, to put off the old and put on the new. It should be a dramatic transformation in our lives when we follow the Lord Jesus. If there's no transformation, then I question, are we really yielded to Christ? There has to be fruit, His fruit being exposed in our lives, of us yielding to Him, being transformed by Him. So in Colossians 1, we're going to put that up. Colossians 1, 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him that the fullness should dwell. That's Jesus, verse 20. And by Him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Jesus is the one who reconciles us. He's the one that has paid the ultimate price. He has bought and paid for each one of us by His blood, that we no longer live. Kyle is dead. Tofana's dead. Marv's dead. We can't say this is what my life. My life is dead. It's his life that I live. That's a different gospel, I think, sometimes, because some people are preaching that this is the best life now. That's pretty pathetic. Kind of disheartening. If this is the best life, I don't want to go to... Right? There's a different gospel. I forgot to put on verse 21. So 1 Colossians 1. Sorry, John, I really messed that up. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." Before we came to Christ, we were alienated. We were not in relationship with Christ. We were not in right relationship with the Father. We were alienated, set apart. We were totally not him. But because of Jesus, now we are brought in. Not by any works that we have done. It's by the grace of God. And that's this, what we share. That we're all wicked people at heart. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it's by Christ that reconciles us, to bring, gives us his holiness, his righteousness. He makes us holy. And he changes our hearts. It's only Christ that does it. Verse 22, "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy." This is what Christ does. When we bend our knee, when we make that ultimate choice of surrendering our lives to him, receiving Jesus, and confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and there's no other God beside him, he is risen. And my knee bows to him. Jesus, in verse 22, is in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. This is the truth. He presents you holy. So no matter how you may think or feel about yourself, if you are keeping short accounts and repenting of any sin every day, you're doing good because you're being obedient. He wants us to confess and be right with him. In 1 John, it talks about that. If we say we don't have sin, we're fooling our... Yes, 1 John... Before I butcher the verse. Verse 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, how many of us fall short every day? If nobody puts up their hand, I'd be questioning if you're saved. We fail. We do fail. And we say, "Father, forgive me. I know what I did was wrong. Lord, change my heart, renew my heart." So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In verse 10, it says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar." And he's God a liar? No. And his word, it has no place in our lives. So God is a merciful God. He's a just God. He's a holy God, a righteous God. He's never a liar. He always tells the truth. He's always faithful. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So don't go by feelings. Go by what the Word of God says. That's the only truth. That's the absolute truth. Do you see how you, when you read the absolute truth, how it sets you free? It takes you out of the picture. It takes what you think is right, because what we think at times is not right. What God says is right. Verse 23, it says, if, I like that, if, when you hear if, so there's a part that we play in this, if, indeed you continue in the faith. Oh, if you continue in this faith, that means people can walk away from the faith. But if you, it takes action on our part with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It says, if you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. So being rooted and grounded in the Word of God. If you do these things, to be obedient to the Word of God, to obey what God is, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, we need to have a heart that is sold out and that is steadfast for the Lord. And I know we're going to fail at times, but we need to repent, get right with God. Say, Lord, I know I failed, but I know I need to get right with you. Lord, help me to grow in faith, to be grounded and rooted and steadfast in you. You know, this was preached to every creature under heaven. And he says, of which Paul became a minister. I think of Paul. In Hebrews 10:25 says, this is why we come to church. This is why this is the church. It's not a building. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So we're not supposed to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another. So encourage one another to build each other up in the faith. So that you may, so and so much more as you see the day approaching. How many of us see the day more approaching today? Right? So how are we doing mentally? How are we doing physically? How are we doing spiritually? Right? How are we doing spiritually, mentally, physically? Are we encouraged? Are we disheartened? Are we unsure of what comes ahead? I think of, for me, it's been more encouraging. Because I see what's happening. It's important. I've been, you know, it's been relieved not to watch the news. Because it's full of garbage. It brings so much despair. I know when I watch a bit of news, and when I hear certain people talk, it really riles me up, and I just get frustrated. So I've learned I need to not watch that garbage. Because if it makes you get really... Instead, if it makes you not go to prayer, then we need to be in prayer. Say, Lord, we know... Well, how many of us know that the third of the Bible is about prophecy? Third of the Bible is about prophecy. And why is prophecy so important? Okay? Yeah? Well, one is to prepare us. Right? If none of us were learning about what happens or know about Bible prophecy, we would be kind of scared. and we'd be all in a frazzle. And we'd run around like a chicken with our head cut off, and be freaking out about this, and we'd get onto all these different things. But when we know about Bible prophecy, we're being encouraged because God is preparing us, saying, my children, I'm telling you this is going to happen so that you're prepared, so that you are trusting and relying and depending on me to get through what's yet to come. These things have to happen. Turmoil in this world has to happen. The Bible says that. We still have to live a holy and righteous life. We still have to be about the Father's business. We pray for the lost. But don't get disheartened or get ticked for what's happening. Be encouraged, because these things have to happen. It's been interesting how the church doesn't have a good foundation about Bible prophecy, or even about the book of Revelation or Daniel or Ezekiel. They don't have any really grounding in it. And it's amazing when you talk to other believers, some believers believe that the two witnesses already come. And I said, well, that means the Antichrist is here. And they're like, oh. I said, yeah, the Antichrist isn't here. And so when you talk to people, you have to be careful and for us to be prepared. So, 1 Corinthians 15. And I think of the day, this is the only time I really, this is the time when I want to see the Lord's face. I want to see him face to face. We're all going to see him face to face. So in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and 58, it says, now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It's a mystery. We don't fully understand it. God reveals the mystery to us as we dig in and chew on his word and meditate on his word. Right? He reveals more. We shall not all sleep. Right? We shall not all sleep. But we shall be all changed. Verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet. God's voice is the trumpet. He calls the people of God. And this is where we meet him in the air. This is where we, the church, meet him in the air, and we are transformed in a twinkle of an eye. We made perfect. It's the only place in the Bible we become perfect. We are transformed. We see him face to face. We meet our Lord in the air. And that's not his second coming. Second coming is when he has to land and put his feet on the Mount of Olives. So please don't get those two mixed up. Because the church has those mixed up. Majority of the church has that mixed up. We meet him in the air. What a glorious occasion that is. We meet him in the air. We see him face to face. In a twinkle of an eye, we're changed. No more sin. And that only at that moment, we are made perfect and holy and righteous. We would never have to worry about sin ever again. He calls us, the last trumpet, it's his voice. He calls us. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. That's just amazing. And we shall be changed. For the corruptible must be put on the incorruptible. In this mortal must be put on immortality. So then, this corruptible has put on the incorruptible, and this mortal has been put on the immortal. Then it shall be brought to pass, saying that written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to be God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. So be steadfast, immovable. I think of the armor of God. Your feet need to be properly positioned so you do not get pushed back and be moved. Let your feet be steadfast in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So whatever the Lord has called you to do, you not do it in vain. It is a purpose. Do what the Lord has called us to do. We all have different giftings. So be more about what the Lord has called you to do. Don't worry about what's happening, but be encouraged and pray. If we're more worried about what's happening, we take our eyes off the Lord. And it's a spiral thing. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5 says, but now this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Here's the Bible's telling us what's going to come. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. And I know I hear people say, well, this has been through all the generations. True to a point. I'll give you that. But I'm going to break this down a little bit. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, we see the traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. I like, see that? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. I think of in Revelation, the churches. The Laodicean church was a lukewarm church. They denied the power of God. We see that in most churches today. They do it in their own strength. They're denying the power of God. They're doing it in their own strength. Western church is feels like that. You see that. So perilous times. So what is perilous times? We see society being divided. People are being divided from one another. Treacherous. Becoming more unsafe. It is becoming more unsafe. We see perilous times because countries are falling apart. There's wars. Corruption of government. All levels of government. Not just in Canada, we see in the U.S., all around the world, we see totally how the corruption in the government has parallel times. Lack of food in some countries, droughts, fires, food, the lack of, the people don't have the food, people are starving. I was talking to this one, our neighbor yesterday. She owns a business and she makes lasagna, homemade lasagna, in the small bedroom community they live in. The people, the older people in the assisted living, were starving through this pandemic. People were starving because they were not allowed to bring in food to them. And there were people saying, we're doing this for your health. We're doing this for the goodness of man. Yeah. Yeah. That's a crock. Because these perilous times, these older folks were starving in these old folks' homes. And she was making lasagna and pizzas and trying to bring in there. And the mayor of the town says, you cannot do that. Meanwhile, people are starving. That breaks my heart. That's perilous times. Unhealthy population. We see obesity. We see how mental health issues. We see physical and spiritual issues. That's perilous times. How the state of mankind is getting worse and worse. Jeopardizing. We see perilous times because it's jeopardizing the freedoms of citizens. More and more freedoms are taken away in the name of health. That's perilous times. It brings in tyranny. It brings in so much other stuff. But it sounds good. It's one way to control people. I looked up the Nuremberg Code. Do you know what the Nuremberg Code is? So Nuremberg Code was written, it was 1947, August 19th. The judges delivered the verdict in the doctor's trial at Nuremberg against 23 defendants. They also delivered their opinion on medical experimentation. It's about experimentation on so-called drugs. We see that today. An experimentation on human beings. What's happening today goes against the Nuremberg Code. Nuremberg Code and a related declaration of Helsinki are the basis of Health Canada and U.S. regulations. So even what the government has said they will not do, because they take this, and here they're doing, you should read it. There's 10 points. So this is perilous times. We see earthquakes that never been happening before. How menacing it is, because perilous times is how our government talks to us, threatening in a hostile manner. That's perilous times. How your government speaks to you, they threaten you. They use coercion. You try to make people go beyond what the Nuremberg Code says. You cannot do that. So we're in perilous times. Unforgiving is another thing. It talks about holding on to bitterness, saying we'll never forgive that person. What does the Bible say? In Matthew 6, it talks about if you do not forgive others, how can God freely forgive you? So if we're holding on to bitterness, resentment towards other people, we need to ask God to check our heart. Say, Lord, forgive me for having bitterness and resentment towards this person. Even Trudeau, as much as I don't like him, I pray for him. You still need to pray for them. They still need to know Christ. What happens when there is unforgiveness? Our hearts become hardened. People move away further from God. Become resentful. You know, it's even proven when you become resentful and bitter, you harden your heart, cancers come up, you get cancers growing in your life. We see slander, People who lie to promote false teaching or a narrative. There's a lot of slander happening today. Promoting false evidence or no evidence to back their claims. They call you everything else underneath the book to try and discredit you, to make themselves look better. So they present themselves in one way look good, but actually they're totally the opposite. We see this more and more every day. Lovers of themselves care about themselves only rather than actually caring about others. If we actually were caring for other people, there would be no people starving. Old folks would not be in the homes being isolated or starving or not being fed. Children are not being abused in the homes. So lovers of themselves, abortion is another one. It's a big thing about how there's lovers of people. Because abortion, people want to have sex with whoever without a lifelong commitment and don't want to take the responsibility of their own actions. That's lovers of themselves. Look what happens. They have regret when they fall through it. There's guilt, shame, because they know what they did was wrong. When we read that scripture, we can see that this is happening today. Headstrong, haughty, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of Christ. And we see that even happening in the church. First Timothy 1:3-7. And Paul is speaking, he says, I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may be charged with some of the that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor do they do. Here we are. He says, Paul is saying, some are given to want to teach fables. They wanted, and then getting these disputes rather than godly edification. Why is the church getting disputes? Why are we not keeping our eyes on Christ? We know what's happening. We see what's happening. The Lord is encouraging us to be on our knees praying and praying for conviction of sin in the world, in our own lives, so that when we meet Him in the air, we have no regrets. 1 Timothy 4, 1-5. This is how we can see what's happening. 1 Timothy 4, 1-5 says, Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. We see that. We see people walking away from the church. We see people saying, you know what, I used to believe the doctrine, but now it's questionable. You know, I kind of see it in a new way. It's kind of gray. We have a friend that has done that. I think we all have seen people kind of question the faith and walked away from it and allowing things like sin. It's okay to live this way, lifestyle. It's okay to have this. It's okay to do that. And they present it, then you're not loving. You're not you don't show God's love towards these people. Too much they say about God's love, but God's love is about holiness and righteousness. The love of God wants us to be transformed, not to live in sin. There's a difference. So we have to be careful, say, God is love. Sure, but he transforms our lives, not to live as heathens. So some of you will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies, being hypocrites, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature God created is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received in thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The word of God sanctifies. The world will enable more to fall away, enticing, using words like acceptance, being inclusiveness, grace to reach the people, however, it doesn't have the power. The world will deny the true power of God. The world will say, it's okay, embrace your lifestyle. We see some churches exchanging the truth of the gospel for a lie so that they be popular. So they'd be called relevant in society at large. So they're denying the power of Christ, denying the power of the Word of God that transforms our lives, saying no to sin, saying we're not supposed to live like the heathen do. We need to be separated and set apart to be light and salt in this world, to allow the truth of the gospel be lived out in our own lives. To promote a watered-down gospel, thinking that if we get people to come in, it's okay. See, that was a slippery slope. When the churches are watering down the word of the gospel to get people to come in, to be relevant, that's a slippery slope. Very slippery slope. Because once you start watering down the word of the gospel, it's going to be hard to turn back to talk about the truth and the holiness and righteousness of God alone. That's a slippery slope we see when people make choices, when the church makes a choice of not wanting to follow God's word, the whole counsel of God's word. God loves the world. He died. Jesus died so that people will come to him, to know him. Any revival people talk about was one thing that people do. They get on their knees and repent of their sin. Only when the truth of the gospel is preached, and the full counsel of the word is preached, we will see lives transformed. There will be conviction, and people will be on their knees repenting of their lifestyles. That's where the church has gone wrong. Trying to say it's okay to live this lifestyle. It's okay to do this. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage. It's okay to live with your fiance. It's okay to have affairs. It's okay to do this. It's okay. But we love you. Jesus loves you. But he says, change. Do not no longer live this way. Be transformed. Be transformed. Let the word of God transform you. Let him work in our hearts and repent where he needs, where things in our lives need to be repented. We're sanctified by the word of God. Word of God sanctifies us, not by watering down the Word. When we see, looking at this, I have more scripture. I have 2 Peter 2. I'll finish next week. But we see how we are living in the last day. We're living in the last day. But to be encouraged, I think sometimes we need a wake-up call to be encouraged for what God's doing, how he's preparing his remnant that are staying faithful to his word, who are being obedient to his word, who are yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and who are hungry to live for him and who will die for him. My prayer is that we don't exchange the truth of the gospel for a lie. That we be true to the word of God. That we will not compromise the word of God trying to get people saved. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. The Holy Spirit speaks to every single one of us. Even non-believers, the Holy Spirit speaks to them, convicting them of sin. Our job is to stay faithful, be obedient to the Word of God, not to compromise His Word, to live by His Word, to pray for those who are lost, to pray for the government. We're praying for those who are who don't know the Lord, to be forgiving. Don't hold on to bitterness, resentment. I think Lord, I pray that today that you would search our heart. And Lord, that you would reveal anything in our heart that is contrary to your word. Lord, that where we're believing false doctrines, believing lies, where we're believing things that are not true to your word, Lord, that you would reveal that to us as individuals. Father, that you, by your Holy Spirit, you would search our heart today and just reveal anything in our lives that we need to repent of and get right with. Lord, I pray that you would help us. And Lord, that we would not harden our hearts towards you when we hear your voice. Lord, where there needs to be correction, Lord, let there be correction. Lord, that where there needs to be short accounts, let there be short accounts in our own lives. Where we need to forgive somebody, Lord, let us go to them and get right with them. Lord, where there's resentment, haughtiness, or, you know, Lord, anything that's not of you, that's operating in our lives, I pray, Father, that you would search our hearts and reveal that to us today. Lord, let us be encouraged for how you're preparing us for what is yet to come. And Lord, that we know we get to meet you in the air. And Lord, that we do not go through tribulation or through that judgment or through your wrath, but we are with you, securely with you. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would, that we would start being more hungry for your word. And let us follow our desire to read and meditate on your word day in, day out. Lord, let us have a hunger and a thirst for you and only. And Lord, for this government, Lord, we pray that you would just open up their eyes to the truth. Even the premier, Father, that you would open his eyes to the truth. And Father, to seeing what they're doing is not what you want. Lord, let there be repentance across this land. Lord, that there be holy reverence, holy fear of you. Lord, let there be people falling on their knees repenting of their lifestyles. Let the church be a place of prayer and desire to see your holiness to move. Let them see, Father, where there's division in churches, Father, that there be unity and doors closed to bitterness, resentment because of things that don't really matter. Father, I just pray that there be repentance, that there be healing, and with the oneness in the body of Christ, there be such unity, Lord, that even, Lord, as in 2 Chronicles 5, I believe it, you talk about how there's the priests, the Levites, they start praising you with trumpets and singing in unity, and how your cloud, your presence filled that tent. And people fell down and worship you. Lord, let that be that in our own lives. Lord, that we would desire to fall down at your feet and desire to be in unity with one another. So I pray, Lord, for unity. Forgive us for allowing Satan to get a foothold in our lives, which causes division and resentment and bitterness towards others. But Lord, help us to see through the eyes of Christ, to be able to know how to pray for people, to know how to intercede for people. Lord, I pray for that today. And I thank you, Lord.